Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Andrea Kennedy is joining us now. She is a certified financial planner, and she has identified over 10 years, 6 to 7 different types of money marriages, some less constructive than others, some more constructive. Andrea, welcome from Chicago, where you are currently hanging out. Usually you're here in Singapore, but we're great to have you on. Welcome.
Thank you for, can you guys hear me?
Can, yeah.
Yay! Technology, it all works.
We can hear you. In fact, yours could be one of the best connections I've had all weekend in terms of the
really?
Sound. So thank you for that. Andrea, let's get right into this idea of money marriage. Talk to us about that. What does that mean to you?
Okay. So I've been doing financial planning for almost 20 years now. And over the course of hundreds of clients, I've seen really, I would say, 5 different types of marriages. But before I get into that, because that's kind of the bulk of the discussion, I want to give a little bit of advice up front for people listening who might need it.
Okay.
When you're dealing with your spouse and around money, there's 4 questions I always ask people to ask of themselves. And each person has to ask this separately. Obviously, there's 2 people, at least 2 people involved. So are you on the same team? Are you money literate? Are you using data or emotions to make your argument? Because at the end of the day, money is about the math. And do you understand your own narrative about money? And do you understand your spouse's narrative about money? That's actually a lot to understand.
Yeah. What do you mean narrative? Describe what you mean narrative.
So I'll give you a very simple example. So I grew up more or less as a saver because I had 2 parents who lived through the Depression, right? So money to me is a sense, you know, I grew up believing money is this source of security and that you had to earn money and save it. And then ultimately you learn about investing. But for me, it's a way of feeling, if you will, safe. For other people, it will be, I want to show how important I am. For other people, you know, everyone's got their narrative about what money does to what money does for them. Yeah. And we also have narratives around, you know, working with people in finance. Some people totally trust, you know, their financial advisor, other people don't. Some people believe they should only invest in real estate. So there's all kinds of narratives around money. And I think people have to be sure of why they believe in their own narrative, basically.
Yeah. Andrea, as you are talking, we are going to have our question of the day showing, and that is around money. We talked about this, you and I, before we came on air today.
Yeah.
Are you a spender or a saver? How can you make your particular habit work with the relationship that you have, whether it's a spouse or a significant other? So we would love to have you throw your comments in on the chat, especially if you have questions for Andrea about saving or spending or money relationships. Please put those in the comments section if you're on with us on Facebook Live. Okay, go ahead, Andrea, carry on.
So I also just want to add, because you know, you can spend too much and you can save too much as well. So there's also this kind of happy medium. A lot of people are in marriages where one person's a spender and one person's a saver, right? And there's a reason for that. There's an attraction there, a natural attraction. And I think this is really about, again, how do you communicate around money and how do you compromise? You know, is one person always get the final say, if you will? So there's a lot of right ways to do this, and there's quite a number of wrong avenues to go down, right?
Okay, so just briefly, the four questions that you ask, real quick, fire at us again so we can think about these.
Are you on the same team?
Yep.
Are you money literate? Like, do you actually know, like, understand your own thoughts about what you think money can do from an investment point of view and all that? Are you using data or are you using emotion? A lot of emotion goes into buying a home, more than sometimes data, which is why a lot of people overspend on a home. And then the last one is, do you understand the story that you tell yourself about money, what it can do for you, you know, what investing is about? Do you actually understand your narratives? Because a lot of us grow up with ideas around money, but they're actually not ideas based on our experience. They're what our parents have told us or what we think we know, but actually there's no actual evidence behind.
Okay. So let's talk now about money marriages. And we're talking with Andrea Kennedy, a certified financial planner. And this is a very interesting topic because I don't think that people always look at it in the way that you are going to present it to us.
Right. So I think a lot of people look at their relationship and their marriage with money and say, are we doing okay financially? Are we successful? Are we as successful as our neighbors? And I think that is maybe the wrong way to go about looking at things. And I can tell you, as someone who has worked with people who are starting out with money all the way up to people who are very, very wealthy, I've met a lot of very wealthy people who are very unhappy. Mm. And it's because of how they communicate around money and how they're living with money in their own household. So it's not about how much you have. It's really about how at peace you are and how contented you are. And so what I did over time was really identify what I really kind of condensed into five types of money marriages. So should I just go through each one and then give you a little insight?
Yeah, give us the list first, and then we'll take apart each one of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the first is what I would call money confused, which is actually a lot of people. Let me just go through
all. Yeah, just go down the list. Yeah, money confused.
Money covert. Mm. Money confrontational. Money, I would say, confident or competent. Let's call it confident. It sounds better. and money courageous. So those are really the five types of money marriages I've seen.
Okay. Now, give us some money confused, right, was the first one. Give us some basic, 3 points about that.
So here's the thing. A lot of people think that, this is best exemplified by a client I've had for a long time. She came to me and she said, my parents didn't know anything about money. They were great parents, but they basically admitted they didn't know anything about money. They just had jobs. They just kind of were investing. They weren't really sure about it. They'd never done a financial plan. Mm. So she's like, teach me. So she's basically starting from scratch. And that's a great place to start. There's no one should feel shame about not knowing. I think the shame in money comes in pretending to know and not really knowing. That's really where the problems come in. So if you're kind of money confused, read books. Go hire someone to help you walk through a financial plan, get a financial plan done, work with people who kind of are working with your best interest at heart. But there's nothing wrong with not knowing. And I think that in itself is such a point of shame for people that they don't get the information they need. And then that creates problems within their relationship because they think they're doing X and whatever. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So that's money confused. Money covert.
Okay. So this I see, unfortunately, a lot. I would have to say particularly among expatriates. But basically, one person knows what's going on with the money and is making decisions around money, and another party is really left out. And sometimes that's intentional and sometimes that's not. But the point is that one person really knows what's up with the money, and they're making all the decisions around it. So all this is very hidden. And often there's not discussions around the money. So again, it's all kind of feeling secretive. And this obviously, a lot of times when I see women who've come in and they've gotten divorced, this is usually the number one reason that they ended up getting divorced.
Okay.
So this is an unhealthy pattern to have in a marriage. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Okay. We're talking with Andrea Kennedy, certified financial planner, talking about money marriages or money with your significant other if you're not married, but hanging out on a consistent basis. And Andrea, before we get to number three, which is confrontation, I just want to remind everybody our question of the day, are you a spender or a saver? And how do you make that habit work within your relationship with your significant other? Put your questions or comments in the chat for us. Andrea will be happy to answer any question at all you have about money. Okay, the third type of money marriage, as you call it, is confrontation.
Right, and this is where people are constantly fighting, but often over money. And when I hear this, the first thing I think of, they're probably fighting about a lot of things that aren't just money, right? Like there's a lot of other stuff going on there for sure. And money's kind of the safest place that they can find to have an argument.
But it's stressful, right? I mean, at the end of the month and you're looking to pay bills and maybe all the money's not there that you want to be there. It's a very stressful time.
It is stressful, but I think there's a better way to handle it than arguing.
Okay.
And that's sitting down and doing budgets. And honestly, if you're constantly fighting, then call in a referee. I mean, seriously, you can call in a therapist, you can call in a financial planner, but call in someone who actually can sit there and be unbiased and listen to both parties and say, listen, I hear you saying this, I hear you saying that, and teach and learn the bridges to compromise.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
And then
money confident.
Confidence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Money confident. This is basically people who they know they're on the same team. They know they're on the same track. They know that they're working through, their plan. If something comes up that's unexpected, like COVID-19, they sit down and they talk about things. Right. They often compromise and make sacrifice together. And they're collaborative, right, around money. So, you're laughing.
Like, but you know, so the reason I'm laughing, God. The reason I'm just thinking to myself as you're saying this, we've all had our moments, haven't we? Yeah. With confidence, with confrontation, you know, with being covert, yeah. with being confused. But you know, I'm seeing people join the Facebook Live session yeah. with us, and yeah. many of them I know and have known for years. They're scattered all over the world, and I happen right. to know that most of these people have been very successful in the way they've managed their money. But I also know right. some have had some challenges, and I'm just waiting yeah. for anybody, whether you've been successful or have challenges, to throw out some ideas in the comment section. And everyone's been very quiet so far.
Quiet. I mean, people will be quiet. You know, when I give presentations around this topic, the room is silent. And I think people are either completely asleep or I've stunned them. But it is a silent. It's like, because we don't think about money in these terms, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's really a very, and it's such a personal topic, obviously. Yes, you know, we all are very aware of our own financial position and if we yes. want it to be different and all of that. So, but, yeah. you know, courageous, right? Is that the last kind of money marriage?
Right. And this is where you've got people who have done well enough. And again, for everyone, that's going to be different, what enough is. Mm. But these people are now giving back to their communities. You know, they're giving their time, they're giving their money, they're giving their whatever. But they basically, this is where I think you really, almost if you will, if it was a hierarchy, this is kind of where you want to get to.
Yeah.
It's better than just being wealthy and not doing anything with it, right?
Sure.
But to actually be able to give back. So I call that money courageous.
Yep. And as you are working with couples, with families, mm. with individuals, are you seeing that one of these five is more prevalent than the others?
You know, I could really do a whole book on expats. I see, unfortunately, in the problem relationships, I see a lot of covert money habits, right? People doing things with money, not informing, and all this kind of behavior. And I think it's often because people don't know how to talk about it. People feel unstable, and this is a way to get power, is essentially to kind of somehow take control over the money and not tell their partner. So I see a bit of that often. And then I do see money confidence. And I think if you're going to be having a successful, particularly expatriate life, or successful life period, but successful expatriate life, you have to become money confident.
Yeah. Yeah,
because you're going to be moving. You're going to be making changes constantly. You're going to be constantly in this, you know, change mode. And you have to get good at this, or you have to kind of sit it out, is what it comes down to. Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah. You had talked about, you know, the first part of this is actually having a dialogue with your partner, your wife, your husband, your significant other. Is that really that's got to be the place to start, right? How does one start that conversation, which for many people can be a hard one to have?
I would say the first conversation I would have would be with yourself. I think people actually have to self-reflect around their own relationship to money and what they think it's going to give to them and what it's not going to give to them. And to actually assess if there has been proof and that they have got this correct idea about money. Mm-hmm. Because once you understand yourself, it's very easy to work with another party, even if they don't understand themselves. And one person's going to have to take the lead. So if anyone's having money issues, one person will have to probably take the lead. The other person has to eventually catch up, though, right? And they have to be willing to follow.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this will end up not really working over time, to be very honest. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. And then the steps. What are the concrete steps that somebody can take or a couple can take to reorient or rethink what their strategy might be? Obviously, talking to a financial planner is always a good start. What is the easiest way to get started on that?
I just think, honestly, sometimes I feel like if couples feel like they're at a crossroads, and they really are having a hard time with the communication, I think you really should start either with a therapist or a financial planner. And again, one person's going to have to say, listen, I'm going to own this for us as a couple, but I need you to kind of be on my team and we need to be working together. And sometimes through this process, people realize that they aren't actually on the same team, that they do want very different things. Right.
And how do you resolve that if people have different goals?
Well, I think you can resolve it and keep a marriage together, but sometimes marriages don't stay together. Right. So I think if people have different goals, there's a lot of ways. I think sitting down and going through a complete financial plan is probably the best way to do it, because then you can see what money's available. And maybe we tackle one person's goal one year and then the next year it's the next person's goal. But it's got to feel fair. Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to always feel like there's this imbalance, right? I think that doesn't work over time.
Do you also try to find commonalities? You know, for example, we both want to retire and have a certain type of lifestyle, right? That's something most people can agree on, isn't it?
Right. Well, you would think yes, but you might be surprised, right? And again, a lot of this is people don't really know, right? I mean, I think I want to have this kind of lifestyle, but you won't really know until you're in it. But the good thing about finding a common goal is that you can at least focus on that together, right?
Yeah.
But it has to be a common goal. And this is important because often what feels like a common goal ends up being the breadwinner's goal. And the other one's just kind of going along because she doesn't really feel like she's empowered, or he, but often it's the woman, doesn't feel like they're empowered in the relationship. Hmm. So a very good therapist or a very good planner will help that person feel more empowered and help them with the language to assert themselves in their own relationship.
Now, you said something that was interesting about the woman in the relationship is sometimes mm-hmm. less empowered. But these days, we are seeing many more professionals. The gender divide is balancing out, right? So there are many more professional women in relationships that are bringing home either the main salary or a very respectable salary. And how is that changing this dynamic?
Thank God.
It's only appropriate, right? But how has it changed the discussion?
So I actually think that the some of the healthiest money marriages I've seen are where there more or less is a balance in who's bringing in the money, because immediately she's empowered in her own life, right? In a specific way around money. Mm. And the reason that women are often been left behind is because they've not been spoken to about money as they've been growing up. It's not because they're not capable. It's because they've not been part of the conversation. So as someone who's earning money already, she will already be involved in her own financial life, at least to some degree, right?
Right.
Those tend to be the more balanced, if you will, kinds of, couples I see. Then if one has just always been earning and the other one has just been kind of going along, with it.
Very good. Andrea, we have to leave it there. Andrea Kennedy, Certified Financial Planner. How do people find you if they want to get more information on this most important topic?
They can go to wiserwealth.net. I also give presentations on this, but they can contact me through my website. It's probably the easiest way to reach me.
Great. Thanks so much for your time from Chicago today.
You.
Hope the weather gets better there. And
thanks.
Hope we can all have a better money life, whether it's a marriage or a partnership or whatever it is. Thanks, Andrea.
Bye-bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.